Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details. Ooh,
Trust and Will. My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear. Trust and
Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, MyLowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to MyLowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, John Stovall. John, how are you doing today?
Excellent.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm so glad I can have you on. I was actually just talking about you the other day on another podcast episode for this channel. We're talking about just Elf Empire, a couple things. And I'm totally blanking because I just did like 18 interviews the last like 5-6 weeks, but that author really liked Elf Empire. So that was really cool. But thank you so much for coming on today and, you know, talking about your books, your writing journey, and just letting us kind of pick your brain. So we really appreciate it.
Most welcome.
Yeah, no problem. So we'll start right there with that first question. Can't talk today, apparently. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Mixed. I love being an author, but I think part of it is less about being an author and more about no longer being an attorney. And this will probably come up as part of some of my other answers to some questions, but I was an attorney for just the worst of the worst situations. I was a defense attorney that handled 4 homicide cases over my 13 years, as well as quite a few other very dark situations. I was an advocate for parents when they've lost their children, and you don't usually lose your children without some pretty dark situations. I did bankruptcy most weeks, not exaggerating, most weeks of my 13-year attorney career. Somebody's freedom, child, or livelihood was dependent on how I performed in court that day. And to be honest with you, it wore at my soul. I don't know how much you talked about this with Shammy, but she actually was an attorney herself, but she basically got out of law school, practiced for less than a year, maybe about a year, and then she just wanted to be an author. And so for 6 years, I supported her while she became a super successful author. But the first year she started making more money as an author than I was making as an attorney, I was like, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And so, there's been ups and downs in my writing career, but at every moment, I'm just thankful I'm not an attorney. So that's always kind of in the background, making everything I say that I'm about to say about my writing journey is actually better than how I'm going to say it, only because I'm not an attorney, as weird as that sounds. And there was a lot to like about being an attorney, but the stress is I wasn't able to deal with it healthily is the best way I can say it. So for me, it's been a bit of an up and down. I started out writing Dungeon Core almost on a lark. Shammy had a really close friend that was an author, and they'd had a falling out, and she was sad because she didn't have an author to talk to, and I had just finished reading some really, really good dungeon cores. Rinstriker, Jonathan Brooks, of course, Divine Dungeon, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. And I got really excited about that stuff and wrote my own. And that was probably the high point of my career, although it's very close with Elf Empire and DCE. I think that is still my single highest money-making series, although I have three that are kind of in the same category. And so I opened up thinking I was going to not get noticed, had a medium hit, not, you know, not like a spectacular hit, but a medium hit right out the door, made some good money, was very excited for the process. And then released City of Masks. And like I said, I'll talk about that when we get there, but that was definitely probably the low point of my career, was the second series I ever released. And then since then, it's gone back up. And, you know, it's been a couple fairly successful series, Elf Empire, DCE, stuff like that. The audiobook only of Villain Corps, which is a very weird situation, also very successful. And, you know, so... And I guess this recent Lit RPG Con was the first time I ever encountered actual fans where people came up to me because of my work.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, it's had its ups, it's had its downs. But again, I'm always just thankful this is a vastly superior career to being an attorney. Just vastly superior. So
you actually get fans now, right? Like no matter win or lose, right?
Yeah. I was attacked twice as an attorney, like physically attacked. You can imagine the kind of nonsense that was going on there. I'm very, very glad to be in a different phase of my life.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, I'm glad that you guys are also okay. I don't know if anybody saw, but you guys had kind of a scary experience, right, at the hotel where, like, part of it caught on fire at that con. So it was wild. Like, you guys must have been in, like, the same hotel as, like, a bunch of my friends that went to the con, because I just saw, like, one thing after another. It was, like, really, really wild. So,
yeah. Crazy. I'm old enough that I can remember the people leaping out of the top of the towers, the twin towers on 9/11.
So
when we got the call from our friends, fortunately, I mean, I guess it didn't really matter realistically, but I'm fortunate that I had multiple people that cared enough to call multiple times, so that eventually I was woken up by my phone, even though the first couple calls didn't work. Yeah. But my vision was I got to get out as fast as possible and got to get Chamois out, so we're not trapped, you know, above a fire. But because people told us the fire was in the 7th floor and we were in the 10th. But then it turns out the fire was in like the 23rd or 26th floor.
Oh, yeah.
And the, yeah, so it was a bit of a, you know, I mean, there wasn't any panic or anything, but I was definitely excited to get out of that building, get Chamois.
Yeah. I don't blame it. Well, we're all glad that you're okay. Definitely, for sure. Yeah. Wild, wild stuff. But like she was saying, like the con was like pretty freaking awesome. Other than that small hiccup, yeah, it seemed like it was like had some great guests and just like
Good time. Yeah, it's even more than that. That was probably the best organized con I've ever been to, and it was in its first year. I have to absolutely give a shout out to Geneva and Emily for just doing an absolutely phenomenal organizational job. You know, I did a couple panels there, and you know, I've done panels at other places. Most of the time, they have no idea what we're supposed to be doing. There's no organization. I showed up to one room where the chairs were still stacked on top of the tables, stuff like that. This place, not only was everything 100% ready to go, but they sent, like, bonus people to help out to get us ready if, like, you know, like, ahead of time to make sure that everything was ready to go. I don't think there were any snafus with anything. So, I mean, I've already... you know, told them directly, but just in case, you know, they haven't already heard 10,000 times, super shout out to Geneva and Emily for just being extremely talented.
Oh, that's awesome. That's super cool. I do totally get that. I've been to quite a few of like, I mean, I've been to like Phoenix and stuff. That was really cool. But I normally do like around here in Central New York, where you can go to like any like MidCon, I would say. And it was pretty crazy. Like I went to one in Rochester this last Saturday, the Flower City Comic Con, and I went years ago, like 10 years ago when I first moved to this region, and I was like, I went on a whim, and it was like pretty good, right? But this time I was like so impressed, and you know, it was like you could tell it was just totally different than I felt like I was like in Phoenix. And we have another one too that's in Horseheads near me, and it's like I used to work in the town over in Elmira, New York, and it's wild. It's like it's already like we saw an author, Lou, and he was like, "Yeah, I can't even get into the other one in Horseheads because it's ran so efficiently. It's like year four or five. There's already a waiting list. Like even like 2 years ago, we went versus last year with my son and my buddy. We were just saying this weekend, like you can just tell, right? Like if it's ran really well, it, you know, everything's just totally different about it. So That's super cool though. First year, that's like really
Yeah,
impressive.
that's the craziest part. I mean, I know this is going to
Dang.
sound weird, but Shammy and I were prepared to offer a lot of grace for
Yeah.
fuck ups because it was
No,
the
it's
first
fair.
year, and then there was zero problems except for the hotel catching on fire, but that was totally not their fault. But I guess they had to field a random one.
That's
So,
fair. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, that's really impressive. Yeah, I just can't believe like how many people that I knew went that were just.
Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
It's like this was absolutely amazing. So that's super cool. I definitely
Super,
put it
super
on my
good
list.
experience. I think it's the first
Definitely.
con I've ever actually had fun at. The rest of them have all felt, I mean, not like bad, but like their work, if that makes sense. And
No, totally.
this one felt like it was just a generally enjoyable experience. Also, shout out to Sound Booth. We hung out with a lot of Sound Booth guys
Oh, that's cool.
and girls, obviously. I say I'm just Californian, so I use dude and guy a lot as a
Yes, I do
general
too.
comment. But a lot of people that were just from Sound Booth that were absolutely fantastic.
Awesome.
That probably also was a lot of the reason I had a ton of fun. Ryan, I've never met him before, but he is an absolute delight.
Oh, that's awesome. I've heard absolutely amazing things about like their whole crew. So I actually had a few people that I'm trying to reach out to just to like kind of get them on and just to talk a little bit about, more what they do. 'Cause I've had a few people ask me like, who? I'm like, really? Like, okay. I'm like, apparently need to get the word out more. So, and everybody I know who's been on here that's worked with them has had an absolute like amazing time and has had a lot of fun, right? With the process when sometimes it's not the most fun
Well,
process at times,
I
but.
guess all I'm saying, because everybody knows Sound Booth is amazing in terms of the work they produce, but I was surprised by how fun they are as individuals, I guess.
That's awesome.
So,
That's super cool. That's awesome. Well, we've got to keep moving here for there, John. What genre or genres do you currently write in and why?
Exclusively lit RPG. So I love numbers. I think in numbers. I automatically, compare and contrast sizes and stuff like that when people say things. I've designed two game systems, like homebrew
Oh,
game
sweet.
systems that are thousands of pages of lore and rules and all the rest of that in, one with Shammy, but one before I even knew Shammy. And also, going to be 100% honest, people say not to be down on yourself, but this is just realism. I am a mid-tier writer in terms of ability to write a nice sentence or a turn of phrase, but I feel like I'm an excellent tier writer in terms of world building and system building. So I feel like staying in lit RPG is extremely beneficial to my, it's in my wheelhouse is the best way I could say it. It plays to my strengths and allows me to put other things in to make up for my weaknesses is the best way I could say it.
I think that makes total sense. I used to think I was really good at like writing, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do like literary fiction, right? I very quickly found out, no, like that's not what I'm gonna do. So yeah, like it's not in my wheelhouse, right? I don't think that way, so I don't write that way. It doesn't read that way. So yeah, I totally get
Well,
that.
I've been
But it's
dungeon
something with
mastering
strengths.
since I was 10 years old.
Oh, awesome.
So of all the quote careers I've had, that is the longest.
Which is
So
awesome.
I feel like my storytelling style lends itself to a very particular audience, let us say.
That's awesome. Well, I gotta shout out my friend who was talking about like just like that sense, right? And we game, right? And we talk about games all the time, whether it's D&D, Pathfinder, whatever. So yeah, it was cool he was like explaining to me, right? Like, I like Elf Empire because of this, and and Demon Card Enforcer and stuff. And I think that I've talked to a few people, right? Because they're like, hey, when are you gonna interview John? Like, I'm trying. So, but it was funny, right? Where it's like, I feel like that makes total sense to me based off of their feedback, right? Is that you're a DM because it feels that way. And clearly you have experience, doing that in setting up the world or in telling a story that way. So I think that that's really good feedback, right? Is that if people can pick up on that. I think that's pretty awesome. So super cool. And hopefully they can keep buying and reviewing the books, right? And then just keep it. That's still recurring, right? So keep it going, guys. Keep it going. My friend asked me today, he was like, you have too many of John's books and you haven't read them all yet. I was like, I know. But I don't know if I don't. I think the only one is your last series we'll talk about. Those are the only ones. I was like kind of miffed at Goodreads lately. And I had somebody on the other day too, where they like, I talked to JD Franks actually yesterday, and it ticked me off because he had a whole different book that is not attached somehow. It's like a standalone. And I was like offended. I was like, what is Goodreads doing or Amazon? Like, it wasn't there. So it is fun to discover new books, but not for authors that I follow and religiously buy their stuff. So, but I was like, oh, I guess that's like new books to buy. So it was kind of funny. But I think that's really cool. So I gotta start with Elf Empire because that's the one that I actually found of yours first. And then once I found that, I bought it. I was like, I just absolutely love the cover and the blurb. And that's when I found you on like social medias and stuff. So I definitely want to start with that one. That was actually, it was like 50-50 what people had messaged me or talked to recently in terms of your works with me. So, but I told them, I was like, I'm gonna start with Elf Empire. So what are your Elf Empire books about and how'd you come up with this idea?
So they're a pretty standard isekai. I want to make the joke bog standard isekai since that's the title of a series. But anyway, they're a very standard isekai series. At the beginning, character goes across, character gets powers, character has a power that's unusually strong, allowing them to grow differently and faster in certain ways. Certainly not OP MC, but definitely special MC is, I guess, the best way to put it. What is a little bit different, I mean, I've seen other people do this for sure, but I think slightly less common, is I don't transport them their body, I transport their soul to a different body. But the most interesting part about it, I think, is that it is very focused on rebuilding a lost elven empire. People have complained that it's not true kingdom building because it's an adventure story, but the adventure is about restoring the kingdom. I have charts for the city, not just for the characters, with percentage growth rates of population, economic activity, et cetera. It's pretty complicated. I break it down quite a bit. It's based on one of the game systems I developed as a dungeon master. And so it's currently four books long. I do plan a fifth book. I've written a little bit of a fifth book, but I'm kind of caught up in some other projects right now. Although this is like a bit of a segue here, emotional segue. But my father did not like any of my books until Elf Empire. Technically, Elf Empire, the first Elf Empire, I think, is my 10th novel that I've ever written, and my father did not care for the first nine. Did not think I was a very good author. Now he's a wonderful, wonderful father for anybody that hasn't read my post. I don't want to be, giving you the wrong impression here. He's a somebody I aspire to be, okay? But he's also a very honest individual. And so when I was like, what did you think of my book? He was like, it's fine, but I don't really care for it. Elf Empire, he actually liked. He liked it a whole lot. And I found out he was dying in time to fly out and see him, and almost the last thing I ever talked to him about is he asked me to tell me how the series was going to end. And so I gave him the entire, like, verbally told him the outline of the entire remainder of the series and how it would end and all that. And that's almost literally the last thing I ever talked with him about. So I guess this will sort of have a weird special place in my heart forever because it's really the only series, because I hadn't written this other stuff before he passed. It's the only series of mine he ever really liked, and he cared enough that on his deathbed he wanted to hear how the story ended.
That's cool.
So that's kind of fun. But yeah, I have the outline of the story is I guess all I'm really saying with that. But yeah, most of my work, if you talk to people, I'm really heavy on charts, really heavy on the numbers. I'm very, very on the lit RPG side. And for Elf Empire, it's a story and I tell it in odd beats. It's usually three, sometimes two, almost mini stories per book, but it's all about the main character ruling over and building this empire, repairing this shattered kingdom. So
Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable, and I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
It's definitely gotten mixed reviews. I think in audiobooks it does poorly because my stat charts take about 12 minutes to talk through. And I know audiobook people don't really like stat charts that go so long that you're just listening to a, you know, half your drive as a stat chart.
Yeah.
It does considerably better in ebook form. But I really feel that the people that are like hardcore lit RPG specifically, as opposed to like progression fantasy, really like the series. And people that are hardcore progression fantasy really are not as huge a fan of the series.
Oh, that's interesting. I do totally see that with the audiobook though. Cause like Primal Hunter, like book one, I was kind of like, I'm going to come back to this as an ebook because I enjoyed it. But like some of it was just it just kind of threw me off, I think. And I've read a lot of RPG. I feel like Dungeon Crawler Carl does it the way I like it on the audiobook. But then I guess I'm weird. I still like the print version of that. So it's like weird, right? Like I like the audio of Dungeon Crawler Carl, but I actually like Primal Hunter. Like Kindle more. I don't know.
it makes 100% sense. I get it. Listening to, you know, having a stat chart you can reference for powers and stuff is really fun visual form, but listening to every single thing repeated over for 12 minutes would get extremely boring. And when I wrote Elf Empire, I wasn't thinking about audiobooks.
That makes total sense. Yeah.
So I've shifted in these later books to doing, even if it's complicated, I now break up the stuff into small, you know, it doesn't take more than a minute to say what I'm maybe two to say the stuff. But Elf Empire, I think, was my last wall of stat block stuff. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's, you know, some people love it. Like I have diehard fans, but a lot of people don't care for it. And I think that's the primary reason is that really heavy lit RPG wall of stat block type stuff.
Yeah. It's just, you just bring up such a great point that no one, I've never talked about this with anybody. It's like, we've talked about syntax or whatever, right? Like, I had somebody the other day that was on, and I can't remember which JD Frank's group it was, but it was like their character. I never would have said their character name that way, right? So we talked about those kind of things, right? And get it right with an audio narrator, but we've never talked about, like how different stats would be reading versus audio. So I do think that's just such a great thing, you know, to think about, right? Particularly because, maybe like if it's not in everybody's financial wheelhouse, but when it is, right, I feel like everybody I know wants to do an audiobook, right? So you have two products and, you know, you get a wider audience. So I do think it's like such a, you have me thinking now, I'm like, crap, like some of the things I'm writing, I'm like, is this going to sound like it should in an audiobook? Like particularly like music.
I actually had probably, I think probably, Justin is more famous as an audiobook narrator, but I got Habercorn, the guy that did the voice of Natsu in Fairy Tale, it did Elf Empire.
That's cool.
And so I had a really, you know, high level voice actor person doing it. part is the problem. Mm. Type of review and sort of, you know, it's definitely got mixed reviews. And so I've learned from that, and I don't do, you know, 12 to 15 minute stat blocks anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a great thing to consider, right? Particularly if you're trying to transition to an audiobook. Yeah, this is interesting. I've never heard anybody say that before on another podcast either. So for the first time, John, nice job.
Thank you.
That's really cool. But that's why I interview people. I have kids all the time, like, you're on your fifth season, like, are you still learning stuff? I was like, yes, I am. And it just, like, little things like that make you think, I think, about things a little differently. So that's super cool. Well, I actually am really excited for both the Kindle and audio version. I'm horrible because I bought all of them and just have them ready to go.
I appreciate it.
I was like, at the end of the day, it just helps out John and his family. So, you know, and that's like my excuse, right, is I'm helping out friends. My wife's like, you can't call every author you've ever friended or followed your friend to then buy their stuff.
Do you mind if I just go on a complete random tangent for a moment?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So you know Shammy's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have this weird thing. So whenever an author says, like, I love my fans, I used to always feel super weird about it because I'm like, you don't know me, author. Like, how could you possibly love me? And it always felt silly. But I kind of get it now, because I'm not saying I love every fan as an individual person. I'm saying I love this community. I love that you guys let me not be an attorney anymore, that you took all the stress out of my life. But something specific happened with Shammy that is really, I don't know, she's been amazing. You know, she told people she was pregnant. They have sent us so much stuff to, like, take care of that baby. It's mind-blowing. I have 11 places to put the baby that have been gifted to me by people. And so, you know, there's a piece of me that's like, not that some of my friends haven't sent stuff, don't get me wrong, but we got way more stuff from Shammy's fan base than we got from our friends. And so there's a piece of me that's like, maybe these guys really are our friends, even if they're fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's certainly made me very happy. It's a very positive experience. I am shocked by the amount of stuff that people sent Shammy just to help her have an easy pregnancy, I guess, you know.
Yeah. I actually have something that I have for her, and I have a friend like helping me out with it that I found online, so I'm trying to figure out how to get it here. But after her and I talked on, this isn't live, right, so it's gonna be later anyway. But yeah, I'm just, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was like, I saw it and I was like, that's really cool. So, so I was going to ask you after this. I was going to message you for your address so I could send it to you.
Yeah.
But it was like, so, I just felt like it was so her. I was like, this is really cool. Because I was actually looking for something for an old student and athlete of mine who's also pregnant and stuff. So, yeah, I was like looking. I was like, she's not going to like this. I was like, Jamie's going to love this. Because I was looking for something sporty for my friend. It was like, it popped up. I was like, oh, this is super cool. Thank you, internet. So I totally get that, though. Like, and it is cool, right? Like, people ask me all the time, they're like, what do you love about indie? And I'm like, no offense to anybody, but indie to me, fans are different. And and like, people are different, right? People ask me all the time, right? I always tease my wife. I'm like, oh, going to interview a friend. And now it's nice, right? Because I am interviewing a lot of people that I'm friends with, you know, in the indie community in particular. Not that I won't interview anybody, right? I just feel like it is very different. And I think fans tend to be a lot different too, because I think you guys, you know, in the indie community do provide something very particular, right? That a lot of traditional publishers won't allow. It's not the author's fault, right? It's that traditional publishing is a little behind, right? So they are slower to, you know, so you can see like Matt stuff, right? Like Dungeon Crawl Carl, they're like, oh, hey, now you're on board. Travis, right? Here you go, Legends and Lattes. But it's like, you know, other people were doing that, right? So it's just interesting to me I think that they try and apply themselves now more versus indie to traditional. It's the other way. But I think it also has a lot to do with the relationship between fans and authors and creators in the indie community, which tends to be just like really freaking cool most of the time.
Yeah, I get a lot of random support. One of my fans runs my Discord site.
And oh, that's cool.
Basically, that's for super free. Cool. You know, just a lot of, you know, I get all the stuff with Shammy. I just, I don't know. This community is it's pretty epic.
Well, look at Shami. Well, the guys that do the Frith Chronicles podcast, yeah. Right? Like, I'm still trying to connect with them. It just kind of got lost because I was helping so many authors. I like just kind of pulled back on, you know, other podcasts and stuff. But I still would love to have them on because, first of all, I read Academy Arcanus and I was like, this is like so freaking cool and some of the best world building and magic systems that I've read recently. So I would love to like get kind of caught up and to join them at some point on their podcast. But yeah, if anybody hasn't checked that out yet, please check that out because those guys are awesome. And they do a really good job. I know they just had another one released recently, like last week or whatever. And then she also has her podcast group too. Facebook group too that you can check out. And then she'll share their podcast on there too in that group as well. Super, super cool guys. But yeah, it's just very different, right? Compared to other communities and stuff. But I love it. I'm so glad I went to the Poison Pen in Scottsdale, Arizona 11 years ago. And I had met Kevin Hearn, who was an amazing guy, one of my favorite people I've ever met in person. That Brandon Sanderson, when Way of Kings just came out, In the Name of the Wind, Patrick Rothfuss was there. Met Michael J. Sullivan. Pierce Brown was in the corner, and he was like, literally told me, like, I was like, oh, Roman's in space. He's like, yeah, hopefully I'll sell a few. And I was like, that's pretty cool. Brian McCullen had just come out with his first Gunpowder Mage book. And yeah, there's just so many other people, but like, it was so interesting to see traditional and indie. And that was the first time where I was like, I don't think I want to do traditional. I think I want to do indie. And then I had talked to a few people after that, like Michael J. Sullivan. I don't know, started following people on social media. And that's where I really like got to know other people too. But yeah, ever since then, I haven't looked back. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Not that I wouldn't want to do hybrid if I had a chance to, you know, pay for the indie stuff or whatever. But I don't know. It's definitely different. I'm so excited that it's grown so much over, you know, the last 11 years. Lit RPG, right? GD Penman, right? Like people like that. It's just great to see people like, you know, like you guys just really, you know, up and coming. And it's great to see Cozy Fantasy like be a thing, you know. For me, it's really fun. It's like I got that snapshot right at a particular time, and then to see people just, you know, just explode really, or just be really successful, it's been super, super cool. So I want to keep it going for you guys as much as possible. Well, that's an awesome answer. And I'm so happy to hear that about your dad too. My mom, she's like, I will buy anything. She's like, and she got me into books and reading and even writing, but like, she's like, I won't read them. She's just not into fantasy. My wife's the same way. My wife's like, I'll buy them all and give them to people to help you out. She's like, but I'm not going to read them. My wife particular. My mom might. I think she's lying, but my wife definitely won't. I don't take it personally. I don't really like fiction that much, so I get it. So. But in terms of my buddy Dan's, one of his new favorite ones that he actually is just starting book one for the Cerberus card series. So how did you blend a crime family setting with a magical card-based system where characters summon monsters and gain abilities in the Cerberus card series? That is amazing, first of all, blurb there. And man, the cover, wow, for that first one, it was like,
yeah, so. So many things. It's almost impossible to state how many random elements came together to make this one happen and how little I was awesome. Directly involved, which probably awesome. Sounds weird for the guy sounds that amazing. Wrote the whole story. But so I have a friend, Ryan Tang. He's most famous for Mimic and Me.
And yeah, yeah.
And he's part of what I think of as Shammy's writing group. So Shammy runs a writing group with like 8 or 9 people in it. I'm one of them. Ryan's another one. There's a couple other authors. Danielle Maines, she only has one book out. Mary Morell, there's a bunch of people. Shammy tutors or mentors, I should say. Tutors is probably the wrong word. A lot of people. So Ryan said he wanted to do a card story, and he's actually written a significant portion of the book. Nobody else really knows this, and I don't think he cares about me talking about it because he says he's going to finish it at some point and put it out. But he actually wanted a card system, and he talked to me about it, and he asked me to work on it because I'm known as a systems guy. I've designed systems for multiple people, multiple books, and so I put together this card system. And then he decided he didn't want to work on it right now because he really had a bunch of stuff he had to do with Mimic and Me and some other things, and he wanted to get caught up on. And so I really liked this card system, and I showed it to Shammy, and she made one very important change to the way the card system works. And then she was like, you should write a story about it. And I couldn't think of a story. Couldn't come up with a story. All right. And she has a story that is similar. It's not the same as DC one that I really, really like, but that has nothing to do with magic or RPG or anything. It's just a crime family drama. Oh, so I asked her permission to use it, and she said sure. And so it's modeled very heavily after her story. The first draft was nearly beat for beat. The version you guys see now, I rewrote very heavily twice. Like 40,000 of the 100,000 words were rewritten from scratch once, and then like 28,000 the second time. And some stuff definitely changed. There was an entire character that annoyed people so much I wrote them out of the story that's very pivotal to Shammy's version of it. And the first and second book of that series are based very heavily on her work. The third book is entirely me because she stopped writing after two books, although she did have notes. So I guess entirely me is not quite right, but very close to. So it's a card system I designed for Ryan for his book, melded with the story that Shammy had. Because what really happened is I don't usually get excited about stories. I get excited about systems. And I got so excited about the card system that I just went berserk and started making up hundreds of cards. And
they're awesome.
I made up a whole rule system. I just did all kinds of crazy stuff. So then, so that's two of the things that I guess were kind of random. But then also, I'm not really famous enough to deserve a sound booth narrator. Okay. But my agent, who is only my agent because he's Shammy's agent, and somebody reached out to him mistakenly thinking he was my agent because they wanted the audiobook for Elf Empire. And so he just kind of became my agent. He reached out to Sound Booth. Sound Booth originally wasn't going to take it. Somebody got somebody canceled on Sound Booth randomly. And Justin was like, sure, I'll just go ahead and take it. And then somebody else canceled, or there was some kind of production problem. And so then Jeff Hayes stepped in and did one of the voices just like out of nowhere by pure chance. I feel like this is the ultimate. You might as well take a shot because you never know what'll happen, because I have no business. Totally. I have no business having a sound booth entire team production. It was almost entirely just random chance that all came together like it did. So there was a whole bunch of random elements, and I should probably be like, oh yes, I was a genius and I had some brilliant ideas, but it's hard to explain how much that started as a mismatch. And I think the reason I had to do the really heavy rewrite is because it started as such a mismatch, but it's probably my second. I mean, it's definitely financially my second most successful series. It may become my first. It's moving at a rate that it will probably overtake. Corrupted Core is my most successful series, but I think it's currently still in second place, but it's definitely the one I'm most known for at this point. Even better, Casey Azell, who's a 2-time Dragon Award nominee and a traditionally published author, liked the series enough that she wrote Shadow Card Guardian in that series, and she's going to probably write Shadow Card Guardian 2. I know she's about halfway done with it. And so we collaborated on that, although she did the vast, vast majority of the work. So there's that. And then one of the upcoming works I'm working on is Card Apocalypse, which is with Atheon. And Card Apocalypse is set in the same universe with the same card system. And then there's another person who's a first-time author who's writing in my world, and I've never seen their work yet. So we'll see what comes of it. But it's looking like there might be four series.
Oh, wow.
In the Dungeon Card Enforcer world, and there's currently the three books of Dungeon Card Enforcer. One book of Card Apocalypse is already done, and they've got the cover and all that for Atheon. One book is already done, and the second book is mostly written for Shadow Card Enforcer, again, with somebody who's a much more famous author than me. I mean, Casey Azell, you know, she's traditionally published. She's with Bane. She's 2-time Dragon Award nominee. I mean, she's a famous author, and she works with Shammy, which is how she even found out about me. So it's been a pretty huge thing, and I don't know. I feel like this is. I already said this, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I feel like this is the biggest. Just take your shot, man. Because this thing has no business being successful, and yet somehow it's turned into this huge thing that everybody. I mean, not everybody, but you know, like it's still growing. It's still you know, it probably has, I get more super fans. This is the one that attracted the people that do things like maintain my Discord website and stuff like that. So this has been just a huge, huge success. And again, it's not even based on one of my original stories. It's my system, and I love the system. And I think that's what people like the most is the card system.
Yeah.
But yeah. And again, I have no business having a full cast production from Sound Booth. That happened almost entirely by accident. They had some extra work. They decided to throw some extra effort in because they're awesome people. And I think that did a lot to push the series, you know. Just sometimes you get lucky, man, but you got to be out there. I mean, this is, yep, that was like my 15th or 16th book I've ever written that suddenly, you know, got this random luck. It's not like I just wrote one book and got lucky. It's like, you know, I wrote a lot of books and one of them eventually got lucky is the best way I could say it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. No, I ask people all the time. I just had a kid today, like, say something to me, and I was like, do you think I'm ever going to get anywhere with writing and sell something if I don't actually sit down and write? Like, they were trying to, like, kind of take the easy way out. And they're like, well, I guess not. I go, yeah, no. And I go, and even when you do write, right? I said, you know, I said, I'm not going to be traditionally published starting off the gate. So I said, I have to do everything myself. So I said, if I don't go to that Comic-Con, if I don't push, if I don't go on a podcast, right? If I don't talk about my own channel that I built up, I was like, nothing's gonna happen, right? I can't push forward. Yeah. So I always say that to people in the audience or people that message me. I'm like, yeah, you literally just have to keep shooting, right? And eventually something's gonna stick or land. So
yeah,
I think that's such a great example. It's a really good answer.
Shammy's a considerably more successful and famous author than I am, but you know, people don't understand that it's something like book 14 is her huge breakout book. And she's written some fantastic books before then, like what I consider like genius level work, but it still took until book 14. There is an element of luck, but you can't get lucky if you're not out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what a great book though. Yeah. And that's my friend. There were quite a few people, I didn't tell her this, but I've just been pushing Time March Warlock like crazy. Right. And then people that then said, oh yeah, I bought that. They're like, I loved it. But then they like, I had a lady in a group like ask me, and then she messaged me and she was like, well, what other books do you like of hers? And I was like, well, let me tell you. And I was like, this, and this. And she was like, oh, those are all different series and genre or subgenre. I was like, yeah. I said, but if you really like, she'd like same thing, like really liked the magic system, right? Really liked, you know, the characters and stuff and the world building. And yeah, so it was like, cool. So, but again, yeah, right. Like that's, I was talking about somebody about, you know, that backlist, right? Like if you don't have it, you know, yeah. And when you get to that point, I go, now I've talked to quite a few people like, well, I like that book as a starting point. I'm going to go buy the other two in the series. And then I'm going to go back and check out some brother stuff. I'm like, sweet. I'm like, so I think I've told people, I'm like, I've literally seen it work and other authors. Right. I'm like, but if you don't do it, you don't have that, you know, that catalog and the backlist, like nobody's going to know. Right. So yeah, I think it's better to have, and I had one guy I met who wanted to write the perfect book. And then he had like 14, 15, something like that. I think it was 17. Sorry, 17. He wrote 17 books. And I was like, are you going to publish this one? And he was like,
yeah.
No. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you could have, you know, just drove me nuts. Like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, it gets kind of crazy after a while. But yeah, well, that's super cool. I totally forgot. I don't know why I forgot this. I think I had Casey on. Yeah, I had her on for, why am I blanking? For Mageborn? Nope. Yeah, Mageborn, right? Recently. But then I think that she just dropped, because this, well, I guess now it wasn't recent, it was in the spring. But yeah, I think she had just dropped after that, but she couldn't talk about it for you. So, and like, I was like so bummed. I was like, oh dang. But I know like it literally like before our interview, she's like, I don't want to talk about this yet because like the ink hasn't dried and this and that. She's like, things could change. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I literally saw that post. I was like, dang it. Yeah. So I told her, I was like, when you come back on again, we'll have to chat.
Yeah.
So I was trying to get all the feral ladies together. And then my son had he was sick in the summertime, but yeah. So we're going to bugger about that. Maybe at some point we can get you guys on together. Like everybody who's, you know, once you guys, you know, everybody's written everything, it's been, you know, at least the first one for them have been published. That'd be great to kind of get you guys. I'm trying to get Chris Kennedy's team together at some point and do kind of like a couple people or something like that. But that'd be super cool. Talk more in depth about the system and things like that. That'd be awesome. Well, I think that just like the blurb itself always just sounded really good for that one. I've sent it to a few people. They're like, yeah, I bought that. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. But So speaking of your superhero dungeon books, do you mind just telling us a little bit about what those are about and what sort of powers readers can expect from the characters?
So the superhero dungeon is still very much in my extreme lit RPG phase. Okay. And the weirdest part about that is it did way, way, way better as an audiobook than an ebook, and I don't actually know why.
I can see that.
Now the stat charts are shorter, but they're not short. So I guess people can handle my
Interesting.
numbers for 5 or 6 minutes, but not 12 or 15.
Yeah.
So it's a superhero story, but with a dungeon core. And the idea behind it is that there is training centers essentially that train heroes, and it's a pretty traditional dungeon core from that standpoint, but obviously superhero themed as opposed to the usual fantasy themed one. It's going to be a three book series. Once again, I've only published two so far, but I have part of three currently written. But that one was always only going to be three. Most of my series are designed so that they could be very long. This one was a very specifically only a three book series that will never be a book four. It completes in book three. It has a very specific goal type of thing. Obviously the goal is to get a series so popular you can write 13 of them and retire, but this one was not like that. It's just a little side project I was doing.
Interesting.
It uses a room building system. Every time the dungeon levels up, it gets one extra room. And then for the heroes, it uses a fairly small six stat plus powers system, but one that is designed to be somewhat asymptotic in the sense that the power curve goes up very high, so they can start over a three book series. They can start as sort of like a slightly more powerful back alley brawler and end up on the almost Superman level.
Wow.
So the first one, very much has like a sort of mid tier or like low tier hero feel to it, where they are just fighting normal thugs and stuff. The second one has, by the end of the second one, they're doing things like throwing each other, into buildings and through the walls of
Yeah.
buildings and stuff. And the last one is going to terminate somewhere closer to Superman level powers. And I do have time jumps between the three books specifically to allow for some of that growth to occur because I didn't want to tell like super specific stories. But it's a, again, I've never really understood. This is the weirdest one to me because every one of my books across the board pretty much has X amount of money is made on ebook, and then about 0.3 to 0.4 X, 30 to 40% is added as an audiobook, except for this series, which for whatever reason the audiobook just exploded, and like 70% of my income comes from an audiobook of a dungeon core, which is not what I would
Wow.
have ever expected. The audiobook narrator, Brian Wiggins, he's a super cool guy. He did almost all of our early works, but he's not like independently famous. He doesn't have some huge following like Jeff Hayes does or something like that. So I have no idea. Never been able to understand it. But if you look at the ebook numbers, that's one of my failures. But if you look at the audiobook numbers, it's a surprising hit. I've never understood it. It's never made sense to me. I
It's
can't
just so
explain it.
interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I will look at. I don't know if Jeffrey H. Haskell is a good example because I know he did pretty well on ebook, but like there are other for his full Metal Superhero series and stuff, and then the Wraith, and then they're like crossovers. But like I gotta say, like I love reading them, but like the audio is just really cool, especially for the Wraith. Like the narrator he got for the main character, she is just amazing. And it just like they both though like set the tone and. I don't know. Like sometimes the superhero ones, like just, like just with the cheesiness or whatever, right? Just like do better with audio. So I can kind of see that, But it is interesting that the RPG aspect and that it does better than, the other ones. So.
I've never understood it. And it's the same audiobook guy did the previous Dungeon Core, but that one, the audiobook, it makes money. I'm not saying it's like it is a positive thing, but the ebook is by far the huge earning. Same author, same audiobook narrator. They came out only 6 months apart.
Wow.
I've never understood it. But yeah, one is superhero, so maybe that is the difference. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, it's just interesting though. I've heard of superhero genres, like in general and subgenres. Yeah, I've heard of them doing better quite often actually with audiobook. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because people that, maybe like comics and, Marvel movies or whatever, superhero movies, maybe they just want the audio, you know?
Yeah.
I think it kind of maybe comes down to think of, like, you know, we've had amazing, you know, animated narrators, right? Like, or, you know, whatever, like actors, you know, you had, you know, Kevin Conrad, right? Like, so maybe it's nostalgic for people. I know it is for me at times. I don't know. It's very interesting, but it does go to show you though, right? Though, John, that, you know, I'm talking to a friend of mine. He's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to kickstart it. And, you know, I said, I'm just going to add it on or something or whatever. I said, if it doesn't work, doesn't work. But I said, in my opinion, I think you need an audiobook if you can do it, even if you do it yourself and then something happens later, redo or something. But I was like, it's a whole different audience. You know, you do want to do it well, but at the same time, I think you do it well, the best you can at that time and the money you can provide, right? Until something like that happens. But, you know, I've seen people where they bought the rights and, you know, Sound Booth or somebody, Podium, bought a few people, hold the old one that someone had, right? Redid it with a new narrator, like bought the rights or whatever and went from there. So, but yeah, I think the theme is putting yourself out there, right? Because if you didn't have the book, you wouldn't have, you know, the audio book, which does well. So I think that's just very interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that, John. That's really, really strange. Well, that's cool. Well, Power Sound, awesome. I love like the kind of the thresholds you're talking about, because that's definitely my thing. I remember when I first saw the cover, it was like, I must have seen it like somewhere like the same time as like Elf Empire. And because I remember specifically, because I bought both like book ones, like right off the bat. But I was like, I just love superhero stuff. And I was like, lit RPG superhero style to me with Dungeon Core just sounds absolutely incredible. So I haven't heard... Myself, I haven't heard of anybody else doing that, so I thought that's a really cool blend right there. So.
Well, no, there's one other, and I'm going to feel so terrible because now I can't remember his name. Although I remember his Discord name is Dragon Sucks. I feel so bad, but I actually got the idea from that author, and now I can't remember his name. I'm such a terrible human being.
You're going to be a dad. Listen, John, you're going to be a dad. You can use the "I'm a dad." You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you're in the threshold that now you can use the excuse. I'm a dad.
Yeah,
I do well, it all the time. You want to watch? Yeah, it's true.
If you just type Dungeon Core and superhero, you'll find the other author. So anybody that's looking for more material, he's the only other one. You'll get his stuff, and so that's why I did it. And I wish I could remember his name to do the shout out correctly. But
yeah.
If you do that, you'll get him.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah, because I'm addicted to superhero books.
Yeah,
I love comics. My wife's like, you have all these comics. I'm like, books are a little different. Like, you, I don't know, yeah. They're just different.
Do you mind if I shift gears just a tiny bit?
Oh, go right ahead.
So I know at some point you were going to ask me about upcoming projects, but I almost feel like it's better to talk about it right now.
Yeah, do whatever.
So what I'm working on right now is a book titled A Superhero Called Doberman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to be able to talk about this yet.
Yes, I am. It's not just my book. It's Shammy's book. Okay, and so she and I are actually doing it together. She has asked me to do projects with her in the past, but I think she was doing it to be nice to me, and so I didn't take her up on it. Multiple times in a row, I refused to do so. And while I am not as good as Shammy, I feel that I have reached a point that I will not embarrass her, is the best way I could say it.
I get that.
Yeah, I think I can do her story justice, so we are, and she's going to go over all my stuff. People don't know this, but my original series is 8% her by volume. Not because she wrote the story, but because she had to rewrite so much of what I wrote that it became 8% her by volume. So we've been going through this. And I invented a system because I'm the master of systems. It is much more audiobook friendly. It's not as stat heavy. And it's more narratively friendly, but she wrote the story. Like she wrote out the entire story. We've been working on it together. She, you know, I complete chapters and send them to her, and she reworks them as she needs to get them ready to go. And I'm extremely excited for it. I think it's probably the best thing I've ever produced. Very, very excited for it. So, and I love the cover.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You've seen the cover? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No. I didn't want to put it in. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't sure like kind of where it was at, but I literally texted my friend who was like, yeah, he actually won Time Mark Warlock and I think book two in like a group giveaway. And he texted me, he goes, what is this that you shared? It looks so awful. Yeah. He was like, I gotta buy it right now. It's like, let me know.
So I'm really excited for it. It's about halfway done at this point. Awesome. And it's accelerating. I don't know how much I've been very, very sick for the last like 5 weeks.
Yeah,
I had a lot of problems. I'm actually behind on what I owe Atheon with Card Apocalypse 2, and I need to finish this one up. So those are my two big projects I've been working on, is getting those done. I'm partway through Card Apocalypse, but not as far as I need to be for the second book, and then I'm working on this one. But very excited for that, and it is my second foray into the superhero genre. I love superheroes, love them to death. So I am writing a second superhero lit RPG. This one's not Dungeon Core. I don't think, you know, I don't think Shammy would ever do a Dungeon Core with me.
I don't know if my wife would want to write a fantasy with me. Yeah, because I talk about it all the time. That's like, sometimes she's like, go talk to your friends, like go talk. Because I had a break for a while with my son, right? And finally she was like, you just need to go back. She's like, you're just, she was, no offense, she goes, I just don't care. She's like, I hope that you do well, write it, and we become billionaires. She's like, but I don't need to know the characters.
Well, Shami and I,
this is a great idea.
Yeah, Shami and I talk back and forth a lot. You know, we spent about 30 minutes yesterday. I think we're adding a fairly major side story we weren't originally going to have for the main character, and it was based on a power idea I had, but I can't just make up a new power that ruins her story. So we had to have a pretty long discussion about how we were going to do it and where it was going to go and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So we talk about it pretty regularly, work on it pretty regularly. So I'm very, very excited for that.
I'm stoked. I just like, not going to say it, but I got those gut feelings sometimes. And yeah, that one, I was like, this is my book. I was like, this is my book. I just know, right? Yeah. I'm like, I know myself. I'm like, this is my book. Look, the cover was absolutely amazing. I read the blurb and stuff, but like, well, like, you know, the post you had, and I was like, this looks incredible. Yeah. So definitely everybody should by now check
and
that
this one,
out. Go and check in the description.
Yeah. This one's going to sound weird, but this is a lot closer to one of those like random genius idea pops in, but it's Shammy's idea. She had a whole story. I'd actually asked her about it. I asked her what she would write if she could write a lit RPG. And so she told me about this whole story idea she had, because she's written a lit RPG, just to be clear. But I asked her what she would do for another one, and she told me about this entire story. But she is so swamped. I don't know how much she's talked to you about it, but she has like four series that she's trying to write and complete right now. She has like two or three contracts. She's working on a video game. The amount of stuff she's doing is completely overwhelming. So I feel privileged, because what I really get to do is write one of Shammy's genius stories and then have her make sure it is in fact worthy of her, if that makes sense. Like, she's gonna, it's like having a totally free, highly talented developmental editor come in and do your stuff. So very, very excited for that one.
I couldn't believe how quick Words of Power came out, and then she was like, yeah, Words of Power 2, like last time we were talking, I was like shocked. I was like, wait, what? She's like, yeah, it's not gonna roll for a little bit, right? And I think it was like right when, like, it posted, like, I think our interview went, like, literally right after she had, like, made the announcement and stuff, or they had. So, yeah, well, I was like, dang.
I think she's finished Words of Power 2. Maybe not. I think she's finished Words of Power 2. She's partway through Elder Arcanist, the fifth one, I believe, in the Academy Arcanist. She's partway through and zooming through Time Marked Warlock 4.
Ooh, I think everybody's going to be excited to hear that one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She is working on a video game.
I remember she said that. I can't remember if it was in the interview, if we just talked about it separately. But
yeah. Well, I don't know what I'm allowed to say about it, but I can definitely say she's working on a video game. I mean, that's extremely
that's
basic. Cool. She's working on two separate Kickstarter projects. Right now, including a special edition Time Marked.
She sent me the Frith Chronicles. It was like a thank you. It is like, my son tried to touch it recently because we were like moving stuff off. Like, sorry, dude. I was like, you cannot touch this book. My wife, she's like, we got to get like a special. We're getting like one of those like special like box cases or glass cases for it. And I'm like putting it in particular spots. I have hers and another one that somebody had just like sent me as like a thank you or whatever. That was super cool. And I can't wait to have them like side by side because they're going to be behind me when I'm at home podcasting up on the shelf. So yeah, super, super cool. I did a video actually on it. It was really neat.
Yeah. And by the time this comes out, it'll be old news probably. But from the date that we're recording this, I think either today, tomorrow, or the next day, it's already been approved. She's releasing an entirely new, more YA progression fantasy story on Royal Road that'll probably eventually...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so the level of projects she has is insane. I'm only working on two projects. I mean, I have like two or three on the back burner. I occasionally write in Elf Empire 5, Villain Corps 3, you know, but the two big projects right now are Card Apocalypse 2 and a superhero called Doberman. I think she's running, I think it is something, because she's also doing a project for Bane books.
I think she's
simultaneously running six projects. She's writing like 2 to 3 chapters a day. It's insane.
Crazy.
She's doing this. She's doing this 8 months pregnant.
I can't. I'm still having trouble at this point, like writing after school and like my son and stuff. Cause my wife, she's still like kind of recovering like a couple years later. She was saying that she's like, I don't know how you do it. I was like, it's fine. I was like, somebody needs to, somebody needs to get some extra stuff done. I was like, I didn't have the baby. So I felt like it's only fair, right? That I, clean a little bit more, whatever, do the shoveling in the winter, stuff like that. But yeah, with new job, things and stuff, I'm just like, I said to my friends yesterday, I was like, I think I just need like a week break, mentally, so I can't even imagine having to do everything on top of other projects, on top of being the one that's actually pregnant. I give all, authors who are doing this, like have quite a few moms that, have been on recently. I'm like, I don't know how you guys do it. It's just, Jael Odom was one too. I actually have her, by now, that episode will be out. But yeah, like we talked about that and she's got multiple kids. So I only have one to deal with and he's usually pretty well behaved.
I know it's, it's the podcast about John Stovall, but I can't not talk about Shammy. I think she works 70 to 80 hours a week every week, basically for her entire life.
She's always got something new.
Yeah.
It's like Casey too. Like Casey's out and like, Marisa Wolf, all of them. Listen, Altoff, like, they're all like, I'm like, are we just lazy or what? Like, do people do have different headspace and stuff? Like, I just haven't had the headspace recently. I had a situation where I totally screwed up off of Sarah Torn's developmental editing, and then my Marine, I have like a veteran that's helping me like write some stuff, and I totally like messed up a year in the tech. So now I have like a 12-year gap that doesn't make sense if you really are paying attention. So I have to like rewrite like the stuff I just rewrote all summer, which really sucks. So right now I'm like, I just can't. So I was like, I put it on the back burner, and I was like, I just have to pick something else just to like keep moving something forward. So yeah, I don't get how people do that many things at once. But I definitely give them credit, and that's just not me. So maybe one day, I was telling her the other day, I was like, our last interview, I was like, I want to be you when I grow up someday. I really do. Like, Time Mark Warlock, I was like, when I'm not a baby author, I said that to Marisa too, and Casey, because I was reading some of their stuff, and before I interviewed them, like separately and together, I was like, yeah, I just want to be you guys when I grow up as a big kid author, One of these days. Well, I'm so sorry, John, but you have me so curious now. So I just want to make sure we talk about City of Masks in terms of those books. And a little bit about the world building. And then I know, you want to talk a little bit about those. So I'm like so curious now. So before we head out,
So City of Masks is my big mistake. Okay. It has technically made money now, but it is basically a $0 project in terms of what I spent. Never mind the time, just audiobook costs, cover costs, editing costs, and all that. And the reason is, I told you at the beginning how I used to be an attorney and I used to do extremely dark things. Okay, I don't mean I personally did dark things, but my cases are extremely dark. Since I deal with homicides, child abusers, rapists, all kinds of crazy stuff. One of the last cases I was dealing with, not me personally, but my law office was dealing with, before I left, is was a child who got taken away from his parents because the mother's boyfriend and the mother got so wasted on drugs that she was passed out, and he decided to make the Joker and slashed a 5-year-old son's mouth wide open with a knife of the mother who was passed out asleep. So that's the kind of stuff I dealt with daily. And so for me, when somebody says something is a dark fantasy, it doesn't feel very dark. So I decided to write an actual dark fantasy with a lot of really horrible things in it. Okay. And I was sort of excited to do so because it's still a redemption story. It's not like grimdark in the sense like the whole world is evil. It's more like the world is evil, but my hero is setting it right. In many cases by slaughtering the bad people. Okay. But it really did not land well with audiences. I don't think the audiences wanted stuff that was really, really dark, if that
makes sense. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And it's also very hybridized, you know, off my success of Corrupted Core, because my first book did quite well, you know, made a lot of money. And so I thought I knew what I was doing. So I hybridized stuff. I did it. It's a little bit Dungeon Core, a little bit political thriller, a little bit dark fantasy, a little bit lit RPG standard, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't think anybody liked where it finally landed because I didn't stick to one.
Oh, gotcha.
So between the two, that it's very, very dark, like very dark, okay, and the fact that it's a lot of, like, it's a lot of pieces of other things that apparently did not stitch together as well as I thought when I wrote it.
Yeah,
it's extremely not well received. I don't actually recommend anybody check it out. It was based on the same system as Elf Empire, so magically it's the same world, but in some ways Elf Empire was my redemption arc for City of Masks, because it's the same world, same magic system, but totally, totally different story with obviously wildly better reception. But for me, City of Masks, I like to think of it as a learning experience, because any other way of thinking about it probably is just negative.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's, you know, what I've really had is 4 successful series and 1 disaster, and City of Masks is my disaster. So
it's so interesting. I'm learning something about myself here today, John. It's horrible because I'm a teacher, but you're telling me not to read it. So now I have to buy them tonight and then read them eventually, just from a learning standpoint. Yeah. But yeah, because I have this problem, and it's a real problem, John, where there are, like, I used to just read books, right, as a reader, but now I'm reading books as a writer and author, right? And I always learn something from the process, or, you know, and I have read some books that people are like, these are train wrecks. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, now I got to figure out what's up. And I really enjoyed them because I didn't look at it from a reader standpoint. I looked at it from a writer standpoint. And oh my God, even movies, right? Like, totally different, right? If I'm looking at it from that lens. So, I feel really bad because I'm going to do the no-no.
Yeah. Well, I think as a writer, you'll see the errors. I think readers would have trouble picking it out because, you know, some critic once said, you don't know why it's bad, but your brain knows.
Readers
are like that. But as a trained individual, you'll understand the mistakes I made and why I made them and why I might have thought they were good, but why they were actually bad. And I get it now. And, you know, I wrote that without even really showing it to Shammy or something, which was probably a mistake, because she's been able to point out why they were such... You know, I mean, again, I've technically zeroed out the cost, but not the time. That's 3 books that might as well have been set on fire. That was John's learning experience. That was my episode 2 in my my arc where everything goes bad for a little bit before I recover it type of thing was City of Masks. So
I'm sorry, I laughed because I just had a...
Oh, no, 100%.
Not going to say the show, but... Yeah, like there was something that I loved first episode, and I was like, oh, this is horrible second episode. My friend goes, you got to go back. I was like, I'm not going back for a while. I just, like, I felt burned. So I totally get that. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not fun when it happens. But, well, I think that anytime you can learn from that, right? Like, and that's, unfortunately, I try to explain that to people, right? Like, you know, like Sarah for me was like, do not she like tried to listen to me, like, and I'm glad she said this, right? Like, I tend to listen to people when they tell me honestly, right? Because I was like, I don't have time to waste or money to waste, right? Particularly time, though. So she was like, I would just do like two more rounds of editing at least. So that's why I like paused. Thank God I did. Because if I had just published this where my urban fantasy marine veteran turned monster hunter, if I had gotten that stuff wrong, I could only imagine, you know, the people would be very upset with me. And those are the people I'm trying to, you know, veterans are really the group I'm trying to, not, it's not a military fantasy, but like there are, you know, if you know that stuff, like, you know, it's, and have been in that life, like, I do think you'll connect with why my character does things. So I can only imagine if I, you know, had just done it without, you know, getting a developmental editor, particularly Sarah, or just press publish, you know. So I think anytime, you know, you can learn, I just learned to be patient, I guess, and to listen to people that know more than me, and to get more feedback. You know, I should have gotten more feedback sooner. And that was my fault with my one of my friends, right? I should have been like a more clear, right, with what I was doing. So I guess we're learning all the way around, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, John, this has been absolutely great. I'm so glad I could finally get you on. Like I said, I had four or five people the last couple months, like, when do you have John on? You know, it's me, you know, a couple times. I'm like, yeah, like three times. It's like, gotta get John on here. So I'm like, that's only fair. So I'm so glad that, you know, we could do this today and it worked out. And I'm so happy for both of you. And I hope that, you know, everything's great. You know, the next several months with the babe and everything, I had an absolute blast. My kid's 2.5. Oh, he's over 2.5. I was like 2 and 8 months. And he doesn't smell like a baby anymore. And I never, ever thought that I would miss the feeding the stupid little bottles and, you know, those kind of things. And everybody told me I would. But when you're in the thick of it, it's hard, right? But yeah, I definitely. I teased my wife. I was like, baby number two soon? Like, so we got to get some books out there, get some money so we can do that. But yeah, if there's anything we can do in the meantime for either one of you, John, you guys are always more than welcome. If you guys need something, you're like, I'm just really busy. I don't have time because I have a baby now. You know, for social media posts or something, just you guys just message me on Facebook or email me and we'll get anything out to our groups and social media. Not a problem at all. But yeah, if there's anything else you guys need, particularly, you know, for like Doberman or anything like that, you know, that you want me to share, you know, please don't hesitate to reach out. And sometimes people do, and I'm like, hey, I'm sharing things left and right. And I have a process now that only takes me like a minute or two to do like a couple of posts for all social media. So I got my systems too for podcasting down. So, but yeah, if you guys need anything at all, please just let me know.
I mean, honestly, I'm probably going to take you up on it and reach out in a month or two because I do want people to see Doberman. I'm super excited for it.
You definitely should. You definitely should because, yeah, I am starting to post on like actual posts on my website again. I'm thinking instead of doing like a longer newsletter, I would just do like kind of like four people. Before I used to do like whoever I could find, but it was just too much. So I'm going to reanalyze that here towards the end of the year. So yeah, you just send me whatever and we'll get it out to as many people as possible. Yeah, help you out in any way we can. I've already bought almost all your books, so now I'm going to go do that. your wife too. Yeah, I'm waiting on one more gift card. I had a gift card for my birthday that like exploded and did not work right. So I have to call them today to get the e-card gift card or whatever. So yeah, I can't wait. So that's why I was like, well, you got a couple more books I haven't bought. Words of Power too. I'm like, I don't know if the pre-order's up yet, but I'm just like, just waiting. Because that's actually on my upcoming list too for reviews for this year. So I just got to get like 8 more done and I can hop right into there. I got you on the new year though. I like season 5's like my, like I said, I'm like a year behind. So I'm really excited. My friend, he goes, you have had some amazing books. I was like, I've been so blessed. Like I have had abundance of just amazing authors and great books and stuff like that to read and review from the channel and stuff. So I feel really good about where we're heading. But yeah, anything you need, John, you know, either one of you just message me and we'll get it done for you. And I got quite a few people in my podcast group too are just amazing sharers. So, you know, it wouldn't just be me, like they'll just pop out anything that I put essentially. So if I send them stuff privately, they'll just be boom, boom, boom. So you send me whatever and we'll get it out there and I'll continue to do my part and buy your guys' books. And as soon as I can get to them, audio or, you know, Kindle or whatever, I will review them. And as soon as I have a few actually for reviews, I think I have like two right now because I have Time Mark Warlock that I haven't gotten to do the video yet. And it's like on my clock. So, but yeah, anything else you guys need, just let me know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. Well, you guys have a rest of the day. Tell her I said hello, and I will talk to you later, my friend.
All right.
See ya.